If you have your Bibles this morning, if you would find two books of the Bible. One is in the very beginning in the book of Genesis, chapter number 14. And one is almost at the very back of your Bible, the book of Hebrews, chapter number 7. The book of Genesis, chapter number 14, and the book of Hebrews, chapter number 7. If you do not have a Bible, there should be a Bible in the pew in front of you. Please feel free to use it, and I would ask that you would have one in that you could see. Maybe somebody would notice you do not have a Bible, and if one of our church members, if you're sitting with your wife or something, you have two, if you could hand one to somebody else. It is imperative today, because of the nature of the message, that everyone has a Bible. I know Hebrews is in the Bible. I'm not doing too well today. Here we go. Hebrews chapter number 7. All right. I'm going to take you to a couple of passages every once in a while, and so you will need to be able to turn to in your word. But I want you to be able to see. When I'm done with the message today, you may not agree with everything that's said from behind the desk here. Sensitive subject, one that you may not fully always agree. I would ask you to do me one privilege, if you would be so kind. If you do have some disagreement and you do want to talk with me about it afterwards, I don't have any problem talking with you. I'd be glad to sit down and talk with you. Maybe not when I'm shaking hands or trying to help some people back then, but if you need a private time, we can set that aside. But if you have some disagreement, please come to me with the Word of God. You don't come and say, "Preacher, this is my opinion," or "Preacher, this is how I see things." If you have some disagreement, I want you to find in God's Word and come to me with the Word of God. How many believe that the Bible is God's Word? Say amen. All right. So I don't have the privilege to preach to you my opinion today. My opinion wouldn't help you in at all. And I don't have that privilege. Not only am I required by God to preach God's word, but you wouldn't come to this church if all I did was preach my opinion. You'd find somebody who preached to you the Bible. Well, I'm going to ask you to give me the same courtesy and the same privilege that if you come to me and challenge me or talk with me, that you come with God's word. We have been preaching on stewardship this month and looking at the idea of stewardship. Most people think, well, as soon as you talk about stewardship, you're talking about money. And we've been very careful to define biblically stewardship as it is in the Word of God. If the limit or the scope of your definition of stewardship begins and ends with money, then I'm trying to introduce you to the biblical truth of what stewardship is. And so we talked about stewardship. We understand that the word steward is manager, or it talks about one who's entrusted to care for somebody else's stuff. And so we understand, and looking at the thought of stewardship, that God is the owner of all the heavens and of all the earth. And God's people said, so God, I took the Bible and I showed you where God owns the heaven and the earth. God owns all of life. He owns humanity. He owns the lost person and he owns the saved person. I took you and showed you where God said he owns the silver and he owns the gold. David said that God even owned my own reins. That word reins is the makeup of my body. God is the owner of all things. Preacher, why would God be the owner of all things? Because God is the creator of all things. No, preacher, we evolved. No, preacher, we banged our way into here. No, preacher, we were once this and we just developed now. My friend, the Bible says in the beginning, God created, and that's how you got here. God created you. And so through creation, God owns everything. And then we went to the Colossians, and the Bible says that Jesus was the creator of all things. All things consist by him. There's gravity because there's Jesus Christ. There's natural laws because there's laws of God. God, Jesus holds the world together to keep it from spinning out of order, or to keep the temperatures right, or to keep it from burning up. Jesus was is the creator. Jesus is the reason things exist. And the Bible says that all things exist for God's pleasure. And so we talked about our mindset being proper in 09, and our mindset being looking at all that I think that I own, or all that I'm entrusted with in my life, and recognizing that God owns it. If I have a business, God owns the business. If I have a job, God owns the fact. If I have savings, God owns that. You see, God is the one who enables me to think properly or clearly. It enables my hands to work and my feet to work. God is the one who enables me to get wealth, is what the Bible said. So if I'm going to have a biblical mindset about the possessions that are entrusted to me, I better understand that God is the owner of those things. And then in his grace, he stewards them to me, or he allows me to manage those things. And so if I have health and I have a job and I have a savings, or I have a home or vehicles or children or all that God has entrusted me with, those are to be managed for God's glory, because one day there'll be an accounting of that. And so what the devil has done is the devil has got us to think that stewardship just revolves around money. And my friend, no. Money follows your heart. And if your heart is deposited with God, then God will have access to that. But we understand that God is the owner of all things. Understand, amen or oh me. All right. Now, having understood that, I'm preaching today on another biblical truth, and I am going to preach on the biblical truth of tithing. And I'm excited to preach on this. I used to be embarrassed to preach on tithing. I used to be afraid to preach on tithing, but I stand here today unashamed and eager and enjoying and ready to preach to you about tithing. Matter of the fact, I was the first one in the choir line today. That's how eager I was to be here. Normally, I'm the last one. I would say this, if you are a tither, and I'm gonna explain all this, I'm gonna ask you a series of questions and preach this way through questions today. Probably the greatest blessing and privilege of my life, outside of knowing Jesus Christ and serving the Lord, and how that I can attribute all the blessings that God has given to me, begin because I am a tither of the income that God has entrusted me with. If you are a tither, would you not agree that God's blessing follows tithing? I stand before you today a blessed, I'll say kid, man, whatever. I'm blessed beyond measure. That doesn't mean I'm rich, but I am blessed by God. I have a wonderful wife, a wonderful marriage, a wonderful home, wonderful children, wonderful church, wonderful job, wonderful things at my disposal, at my pleasure. God has just heaped and heaped and heaped his blessings upon me. And anybody who understands what tithing is, we sit here today and we could raise holy hands and say, to God be the glory, for he's blessed me all because of tithing. Now, if I understand how blessed I am, why would I be ashamed to teach it to you from God's word? And so I want to teach today, or preach today, on the biblical truth of tithing. You may not agree with me on everything. You may have an opinion, but before you come and talk to me, I want you to be able to take God's word and find what God says, because I have read the Bible all the way cover to cover. I have read every reference on tithing. I have studied this, and as far as I know, I'm going to preach to you today from God's word. And so let's begin with this. If you got a piece of paper, I would love for you to jot some notes down. I got them there. Number one question, Pastor, what in the world are you talking about? What is tithing? What is tithing? I'm a new Christian. Maybe I'm a visitor. Maybe I've come from a church and they never preached on tithing. Pastor, what are you talking about when you talk about tithing? Here's what I'm talking about. I am talking about 10% of your worth or your income, 10% of your increase. If you make $100 a week, $10. If you make $1,000, $100. If you make $10,000, $1,000. If you make, I don't know my math too much. Let's see. If you make just 10%. is your income belongs to the Lord. And so when we pass the offering plate and the tithe is me placing 10% of God's increase to me as God's tithe. That's what I'm talking about. Now, where in the world do you get that from, preacher? Well, look at Genesis chapter 14. Look at verse number 20. Here's the first mention of tithing in the Bible. Genesis 14, 20, speaking of Abraham, and blessed be the Most High God, which delivered thine enemies into thine hand. This is a conversation Abraham is having with a guy named Melchizedek, who is the pre-incarnate Lord Jesus Christ. So Abraham is talking to Jesus Christ. And at the end of verse number 20, the Bible says, and he, that's Abraham, gave him, that's Melchizedek, who was the king of Salem. We'll learn later that he was the one who had no birth. He's all eternal, speaking of Jesus Christ, gave him tithes of all. Now, if your Bible says that, lift your hand. Raise your hand. Okay, so we're all in good shape on our Bible. Now, go to Hebrews chapter number 7, and I want you to read this because I don't want you to think the preacher's making this up. If you look up the word tithe in a dictionary or in a Hebrew dictionary or some kind of Bible dictionary or Strong's Concordance, you will see that the word means tenth. Over here at the other end of the Bible, the writer of Hebrews gives us the same account that just happened. For this, verse number 1 of chapter 7, Melchizedek, king of Salem, that's who Abraham was talking to earlier, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to him also Abraham gave a, what's your Bible say? Tenth. A tenth part of all. First, being by interpretation, king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. Now here's the description of Melchizedek. Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest, say the last word. Continually, okay? So where do we get this idea of giving 10% of our income to the Lord? It's in the Bible. Abraham did it first. It's referenced back in Hebrew, and he gave a tithe, and that tithe is a tenth, all right? Say it with me. The tithe is a tenth. Say it. The tithe is a tenth. All right, so that's what we're talking about. Now, this is the beginning of what I give to God, but it starts with a tenth. Question number 2, preacher, why would I give 10% of my income to the Lord? Why would I do this? Do you not know that we're in a recession? Do you not understand what the stock market is? Do you not understand the times? Do you not understand that I can't eat if I do that? Do you not understand how much money that is? Why would I give 10% to the Lord? Now I need you to find the third book of the Bible. That is the book of Leviticus. In Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, chapter number 27. I am going to be very methodical in going to the Word of God because I do not want to be misunderstood, and I don't want to leave any air for somebody to say, this is your opinion. All right, Leviticus, chapter number 27, in verse number 30. And then after that, we're going to find the book of Malachi, which is the very last book of the Old Testament, right before Matthew. And we're going to see what these two verses teach us about biblical truths on tithing. Here we go. Leviticus chapter number 27, verse number 30. Are you there? Say amen. Okay. The Bible says here, speaking, and this is God talking, and all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the, say the word. Okay, now, if you have a proper Bible, that word Lord should be capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Okay, that Lord is Jehovah. The Jehovah of the Old Testament is the Jesus of the New Testament. Okay, so if it's not right that, then that's a very, very serious error in the scripture. So the Bible says the tithe of the land is the, say it church, Lord's, all right? It is holy unto the Lord. Pastor, why would I give 10% of my income to the Lord? Well, and put it in the offering plate or give it to the church, because it belongs to God. Now let's go back to stewardship. According to the Bible teaches about stewardship and about ownership, God owns how much of what we possess? All God owns. So God entrusts me with stewarding what God has given to me. And God says, except for the tithe belongs to the Lord. I'm going to come back and get this in just a minute. Look at that other word at the end of that verse. It says, it is, what's your Bible say? Holy. Now, understand the definition of the word holy. Holy means to be set apart, to be sanctified. Really, he's saying that in all that you are increased, the tithe is to be set apart unto the Lord. It belongs to the Lord. So God has given me all that I possess. So 100% of my increase or 100% of my paycheck that I bring home, that God has entrusted to me as a steward. But 10%, the tenth of that, is holy, separated unto the Lord, and it belongs to the Lord. Pastor, that's your opinion. That's Leviticus chapter 27, verse number 30. Now, go to this book, Malachi, and it will show you why you give 10% of the income, why we put it in the offering, why we teach tithing, why it's acceptable, why it's biblical. All right, so we know that the tithe belongs to who? The Lord. It's holy, which means set apart. It's sacred. It's sanctified. It is not to be figured as part of what I'm entrusted. That 10% belongs to the Lord. I get the other 90%. Now, Malachi chapter 3, verse number 10, teaches me what I am to do with this income. Look what he says. He says in verse number 10, bring ye, what's the next word, class? All the tithes into the storehouse. Now let me help you with some words there. Storehouse back then would have been the temple, back then would have been synagogues. Today it's the church, all right? So the Bible says, Malachi says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. Now I want you to understand, what's the very first word there? Bring. You do not give the tithe. You cannot give something that doesn't belong to you. You bring it. See, every word of the Bible is the inspired word of God. And so we need to study it. If I loan Brother Dave a shovel and he has that shovel and he says, Tom, I got to dig a ditch and I need to borrow that shovel. And so I loan him a shovel and days go by and weeks go by and months go by and he never returns that shovel to me. What do I normally say? I don't go to him and say, give me that shovel. I say, Brother Dave, would you bring that shovel? Maybe you loan somebody something. Hey, would you bring what I loaned you back to me? Would you bring that when you come with you? You see, the word bring defines ownership. God said, Thomas, God calls me Thomas, you call me Pastor. Thomas, my dad calls me Tommy. Won't tell you what Beverly calls me because that's none of your business. All right, Thomas, here's your increase. Now bring me my tithe. Whoa. What'd you say? Here's your check. Yeah, you get paid Wednesday nights, all right? So when you go home after church on Wednesday, you have your paycheck. And so there's your increase. Now bring the tithe. So when I come to church, I'm bringing what belongs to God. I'm not giving the tithe. It's not mine to give. I bring it. It's holy, sanctified, set apart. It's irrelevant. I don't budget on it. I don't plan on it. It's not mine. When I'm increased, I bring the tithe. Now look what he says here in verse number 10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. Now we just said that the Hebrew word tithe meant what? Tenth. Okay, so 10% belongs to the Lord. 10% is to be brought to the storehouse. Now let me help you with this. There's no dividing the tithe. Let's go back to our illustration. I loan Brother Dave a shovel. Brother Dave, bring me that shovel, would you please? Sure, Tom. And he brings me the handle, but not the spade in. What happened to it? Well, I gave you your handle, and you know what? I had this neighbor of mine, and they've got horses, and they needed a shovel, so I gave them the other end of your shovel. Does that make any sense at all? No. If you're going to bring what's mine, bring me the whole blasted thing. It's mine. So he says, bring all the tithe. Sometimes good, godly people make this mistake. They think, well, tithe, so I'm going to give 5% to the church, and I'm going to send 3% over here to the missionary, and I'm going to send 2% to my dad who used to be a pastor and now he's this, and we divide out the tithe. I want you to know something. There's nothing wrong in giving to missions. There's nothing wrong to giving to people in need, but you cannot, according to Malachi chapter 3, verse number 10, divide the tithe. Bring ye, say it, church. Okay, that's not my opinion. That's not my opinion. That's what God says. So it's not mine to divide. It belongs to him. So sometimes people don't understand that. And so they divide. So we give 7% or 8% to the Lord. And by the way, let me say this. When the offering plate is passed and you've been increased, and let's say you make $500 a week, then if you make $500 a week, the tithe is $50. And so if you put $10, ow. You put $10 in that thing, and we feel good about that. So we just tip the Lord. But can you imagine what God thinks? God thinks, I gave you 500. Mine's 50. 10. Can you imagine what an offense that is? It's the same offense if somebody brings back and they don't give you all that they have. And so it's not to be divided. It's to be brought to the storehouse. The storehouse is the church. Question number 3 I thought about. Well, pastor, what does the church do with the tithe? Well, look at verse number 10. Malachi chapter 3, verse number 10. They give it all to Pastor Hunter and he lives like a king. And God's people said, no, it's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. Look at verse number 10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be, say it, meat in mine house. You see, the tithe, if you were to go, and I won't take you there, this is the one scripture I won't take you to, Numbers 18:24, you can read about it. That tithe was used to care for the ministry of the church. It was given under the auspices of the priest. It was given, so and God used it in the law, so the Levite didn't have to go get a job, and so he could minister and teach them the word of God, and so the people would bring the tithe, and the tithe was set to care for the needs of the church. And so that's how it works today. How do we pay the light bill? How do we take care of everything? We take the tithe that belongs to the Lord, that's turned into the church, and then that tithe is how we care and minister and reach out into the community. Amen. All right, so that's what we do. So he said, that's why you bring it. And so the church, there'll be meat in my house. Well, pastor, I did not think that tithing was for the New Testament. I get this sometimes. Preacher, it's only in the Old Testament, and it's not for the church today. Preacher, it was in the law, and it's just for the Jew. I'm not a Jew, so I don't need to tithe. It's just for them. Sometimes people say, well, we're under grace today. And because we're under grace today, we don't have to tithe. We're under grace, and that was all under law, and so we don't have to do that. And some people say, well, Jesus didn't say anything about the tithe. Now, if that's your position, you're going to see, yes, he did. All right. So some people think, well, it's all old school and it's not for today. All right, let me answer that. I'll answer that accordingly. Genesis chapter 14, verse number 20. The first person that we read about that gave tithes was who? What was his name? Abraham, Jew or Gentile? Uh-oh. Abraham, Jew or Gentile? Not Jew. Came out of the Ur of the Chaldees. Gentile. Father of many nations, but Abraham himself was a Gentile. By the way, Abraham paid tithes to Melchizedek. Melchizedek was the pre-incarnate and theophanies of Jesus Christ. Abraham was 500 years before God ever gave the law to the Jewish people. So 500 years before you have the Ten Commandments and the law and the book of Leviticus, Abraham paid tithes to the Lord Jesus Christ. So don't tell, the Bible annihilates the opinion that it's just a law position. It was way before the law they paid tithes in Abraham. Well, Pastor, Jesus doesn't say anything about the tithe. Well, let's go to Matthew chapter 23 and let's just see what Jesus does say. So we're clear about this. Matthew, you have to go to Matthew 23. Please go. Let me hear those pages turn. Matthew 23, verse number 23. Here Jesus is in a conversation. If you look in verse number 14, he's in a conversation with the hypocrites, the Pharisees. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense you make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. And he goes on, and boy, he's hammering these guys. Come down to verse number 23. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay, what's the word? Tithe of mint, anise, cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the, say it, law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. You guys are hypocrites. You're wicked as hell. You're outwardly, you stand up like you're religious, and your heart is you just black as can be. You come over here and you come in and you pay your tithe, and you come out here and you do all that and you tithe, and everybody looks, oh, look how much money they made. But inwardly, you're wicked. And right then and there, Jesus, if he wanted to, could have flipped it. He could have switched it and said a thing, but he didn't. He said, you're right. You ought to pay your tithe. But you ought to be godly, and you better know Jesus Christ. And by the way, paying your tithe doesn't make you a Christian. Jesus makes you a Christian. Okay? But he could have flipped it, and he didn't flip it. All right? Well, Pastor, let's talk about this law and grace thing. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 7. This is, let me tell you, this is one of the best messages I've ever preached, I think, because it's right dead center on God's word. Go to Hebrews chapter 7, verses 4 to 8. Let me give you the argument, and then let me give you the scripture. The argument is this. Under law, the Jewish people were made to do things. And under law, they had to perform. Now, let's be real clear in our theology. Jesus never gave the Jewish people the law, the Ten Commandments, so that they could live those Ten Commandments and be saved. The Bible says nobody, nobody, nobody is saved because they keep the law. Well, that was weak. We don't mean we don't know. Nobody can do enough good things. Nobody keeps those laws. I don't care if you're a Jew, Gentile, or what you are. Nobody keeps the law. The only person that ever kept all 10 commandments is Jesus Christ himself. And the church should shout glory to God because we get salvation through that. All right? So nobody did. So Jesus didn't give them the law. When he gave them that law, it was supposed so they could look at those 10 things and think, man, I'm damned. I'm condemned. Ain't no way in the world I could be this righteous. There's no way in the world I could. I've already broken about 8 of these things, and you're telling me I got to keep all. See, that's what he was doing. Those 10 laws were to show them that they were a sinner. And then it was to point them to the one who would come and fulfill the law, die and shed his blood so that they could have salvation. But the Jewish people in their pride said, we don't need him to come and die for us. Forget that mess. Give those things to us. We'll keep them. And so before Moses is even come down off the mount, there's 30,000 of them out there having a big orgy party and a sexual thing, and it's absolutely ridiculous. Did you read about that in the book of Exodus? How many know about that? Shake your hand. So your head, not your hand, your head. There we go. So he never gave them the law so that they could be saved. But he, in the law, there was a duty of tax because they wouldn't do by. Now, the argument is, well, over here in grace, we don't have to keep the law. I agree. We never did have to keep the law. It wasn't given to the Gentile. Over here, we're not made to do things in this grace. We ought to want to do it because we love. And out of love, love always gives more than law. I mean, if you love the Lord, you're going to give way more than if you have to. So the argument is law versus grace. Now, a couple things. Number one. Over here in grace, you may give 20%. Law said to give 10. Of course, for the Jew, it was more. But the law said to give 10. Well, in grace, Pastor, I give 20%. Great, wonderful, marvelous. Wonderful. I'm not saying anything about that. But don't think that under grace, the tithe has been eliminated. Here's my proof. Hebrews chapter 7. Look at verse number 4. Now consider how great this man was. Now, let me ask you this question. In verse number 4, now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. What man are they talking about? Jesus, but he was in flesh, it was who? Melchizedek. Okay, we just read up here in verse number 1. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, this was Jesus Christ. Now consider verse number 4. How great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of his spoils. I mean, if Abraham paid tithes to this guy must be something. Verse 5. And verily, they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. All right, now go to verse number 8. And here, men that die receive tithes, okay? So those Levites that were receiving the tithes, those priests, they would die. And they'd get new ones and they would die and so on and so forth. But there, he receiveth them, of whom it is witness that he, say it, church, liveth. What is he saying? He's saying, during the law, the sons of Levi would collect the tithes. But don't get hung up on that. Don't get hung up. Do you remember that man Abraham met? That man Melchizedek? How great that man was, having no beginning and no end. The eternal God, Jesus Christ, our father Abraham, paid tithes to that man. Here, people that die in humanity receive tithes. But understand, when you give the tithe, it is received by the Lord. And what is he teaching there? As long as Jesus Christ is the Lord, he receives the tithe. Is Jesus the Lord? Then he receives the tithe. And as long as there's increase, and as long as he's the Lord, the tithe was way before the law. It was not eliminated in the law. Jesus referenced it. And to think that because we're in grace, we no longer have to understand the tithe is not to understand God's word. Pastor, what if I don't tithe? Well, let's go to Malachi again. Malachi chapter number 3. Pastor, what if I don't tithe? Well, let's just, I got to read this to you because you won't believe it if I say it. Malachi chapter 3. Let's pick up with verse number 6. The Bible says in Malachi, I want you to read it. Please read it. Please. If you don't look at it with your eyes, say, Pastor, I can't even find Malachi. Just open about in the middle of your Bible. If you're in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, go back to the left. If you have a computer Bible, just type it in. That's cheating, cheating, cheating. All right. Verse 6, for I am the Lord. There's that capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That's Jehovah. The Jehovah of the old is the Jesus of the new. For I am the Lord. I change all the time. Does your Bible say that? What's your Bible say? Change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? God's response to them in verse number 8. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, where have we robbed you? And God says, in tithes and offerings. Pastor, if I know Jesus Christ and I do not tithe, God views you, my friend, as a robber. Pastor, is that your opinion? Wherein have you robbed me? In tithes and offerings. Pastor, that's just how, no, my friend, I'm reading you God's word. God's word, that's forever eternal settled in heaven. What happens if I don't? Well, look at verse number 9. Ye are, say it, church, cursed with a curse. That is not Tom Hunter. That is not me trying to have a fundraiser. Ye are cursed with a curse. For ye have, what's the word? Robbed me, even this whole nation. He said tithing was a sin even against the whole nation, not doing it. Go over here to verse number 11. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes if you do tithe. And he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. My friend, if you know Jesus Christ and you have increase given by God, 10% of that increase is a tithe set apart unto the Lord. It belongs to the Lord. It is my responsibility to bring the tithe. If I claim to know Jesus Christ and I don't bring the tithe, God said, I see you as a robber and I will curse you with a curse. Preacher, I didn't know God said those kind of things. He said to Abraham, I will bless them that bless thee and do what? Curse them that curse thee. You see, God's able to do that. Well, what kind of curse are we talking about? Male pattern baldness? No, because I tithe and I'm headed for male pattern baldness, all right? What kind of curse are we talking about? Well, in verse number 11, he's talking about meagerness. He's talking about nothing to celebrate. He's talking about no harvest. He's actually talking about no power in our lives. I'm so glad that I did not grow up in a cursed home. My dad tithed. My dad trusted the Lord. My dad taught us how to tithe. And today, all four of my dad's children love the Lord Jesus Christ. There was no curse in our home because dad tithe. If I'm a dad and I don't tithe, the curse is coming to my house. It says that my fruit will go bad. I planted a little garden. Anybody in here have a garden in South Florida? I got a little garden in the back of my house. I did it just for fun. And I got it like a pet. Beverly calls it my girlfriend. I go out there and I water that thing and I talk to it and I make sure the bugs are off of it. And yesterday I was watering my tomato and you guys have to teach me. I got one of those things that you put over your tomato and it plant and it grows up. But my tomato plant is on steroids. Man, that sucker's just going everywhere. And so I had these cherry tomatoes and cherry tomatoes get in this little bushel and I'm just watering them and thanking the Lord. And right in the process of doing that, half the plant falls down onto the ground. And literally it was like my dog got run over. I mean, it hurt me. It was my pet. I love that. And I'm waiting. We've already eaten green beans and they're good green beans. And I'm excited. And I'm out there. I don't want my fruit to be that way. Well, when I don't tithe, that's what happens in life. My fruit goes bad. My seed, there's a curse. There's no power. There's no joy. There's no blessing in my home. Everything that happens in my home is explained by me and the power of God's not there. And there's not fulfillment in there. God said, that's what I see. When I'm not tithing, when there's not tithing in there. By the way, let me, would you go to Luke chapter 6? I got a couple more verses. I got to give them to you. Luke chapter 6. I just want to read you something that the Lord says. Luke chapter 6. It's a powerful verse. The Lord's talking here about what goes on in your life and fruits and how you're known by the fruit of that. And then he talks to these group of people and you go down to verse number 43 or 45. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the, say it church, heart, his what speaks? Okay, heart and mouth, heart and mouth, heart and mouth. Look at verse 46. Why? Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I what? So if I know Jesus Christ, tithing is commanded by God, and I don't do it, Jesus says, that's robbing me. There's a curse coming on you, your family, your seed, your harvest, and everything. And then Jesus looks me square in the eyes. He says, why? Why would you call me Lord and not do what I tell you to do? I would like to add one other thing. What if I don't tithe? Everybody tithes. Why are you preaching this message? Everybody tithes. It's just a matter of what God we tithe to. You see, if you're seated here and you don't tithe, I can take your checkbook and I can show you who your God is. I'm sure you've got 10% in some hobby, 10% in something. We tithe all the time. Not one of us doesn't tithe. It's just a matter of, do I tithe to the living Lord Jesus, or do I tithe to the gods down here? Powerful thought. Last question. What if I do tithe, preacher? Go back to Malachi chapter number 3, and we'll finish our time today. Malachi chapter 3. Pastor, what happens if I do? Well, in Malachi 3:10, he said, if you'll bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out, say it, church, a blessing. You see, a man who will trust God and try God and prove God and tithe, that man, God slides open the window of heaven, takes his bucket, and pours out a blessing on that man, on his family, on his seed, on his harvest, on his job, on his business, on everything about him. And he says, I'll pour you out such a great blessing, there won't be any room for you to take it. I'd like to give you a personal illustration to close my message. When we first came to Plantation Baptist Church, we owned a home up in Coconut Creek. We sold that home and we rented a home down here in Sunrise, and then we were able to buy a home, and we bought a home not far from here. When we bought our home, it was in the peak of the market, and everything was all outrageous and all that. And so we paid what you had to pay back then for a home. And we bought a 3-bedroom, 2-bath home. I love my home. It sits with extra land, and the kids can go out there when I'm sick and tired of hearing everything about that they do. I just shoo them all outside. We got 6 people in 3 bedrooms. Tommy is the only blessed one in our home who doesn't have to share a room. The rest of us have to suffer. And I do mean the rest of us sometimes, okay? And so I said, God, we're growing. My girls are getting bigger. We got 3 of them in one room. And God, it's just, we need to do something about our house. So God, I was praying to him, and God kind of let me see. I walk around. I said, now, God, let me see what you want me to do. Show it to me. And God kind of showed me how we can enclose some things and make another room. And God said, and I said, well, God, that's going to cost money. He said, I know, but I can get you the money. So one thing always leads to another when you start cleaning out your house. So we had to clean out this area of room that we were going to put a room in. And so it had priceless treasures that belonged to me. Beverly called them junk. Can you believe that? She said, you got to clean your junk out of this room. So I had this little shed that was in the back of my property. Now, this was a rat-infested, roach motel, vine-growing, wasp hub, like the Atlanta airport, shed. And I thought, well, I can put those things in my shed. So I opened it up. I took Brother Jim there with me. Rats were running. He's like, there's a rat. There's rats. And we put all kinds of mothballs. I had dead animals all over my yard. And it was nasty in there. I said, Brother Jim, I need to fix this up so I can move the stuff. And what would it cost? He said, it'll cost you $750, Tom, to do that. I said, okay. All right. So I went back to the Lord. I said, Lord, if we're going to do this, then I got to go out here and do this, and I need $750. And so, Lord, you're going to have to provide. And I want you to know, make a long story short, went to my mailbox one day, opened it up. There's a letter in there from Wells Fargo. The letter from Wells Fargo, when you unfolded all of that, at the bottom there was an extra fold. And if you've ever had that, oh, it's a good feeling. And so I looked down there, and there was a check, and it said, you have overpaid your escrow. And there was a check for $700. Now, my dilemma is, I'm not sure that Brother Jim charged me what God wanted to, because God only sent me $700, he charged me $750, but we'll take that up later. So I ran into the house. Open the door, said, Beverly, bam, there's our money. Great, get your junk out, get him over there. So I go to the Lord. I said, Lord, now that's my shed. Now it's going to cost this money to get the thing fixed. On Monday, I went to a preacher's meeting, and I was driving in on the turnpike, and I was going up to hear Jimmy D. Young from Day of Discovery, the great prophecy teacher. He preached awesome. And so my phone rings, and it's Beverly. Are you sitting down? What else would you be doing when you're driving? She says, I just got off the phone with so-and-so. We've been trying to sell something forever. I mean, for years. And nobody's looked at it. It's just horrible. Nobody wants to do anything. There hasn't been sales in that area for years and years and years. But they sold one last week. And out of everybody's lot, the thousands of them that are for sale, mine sold. See, you're a lucky son of a gun, preacher. No, I'm a tither, and I am blessed by the Holy God. Okay? You see, that's, Pastor, if I tithe, am I going to be rich? My friend, you won't be rich, but you'll be sufficient unto whatever God. There won't be any. Every time I go to God, I say, God, I did that tithe. Well, preacher, where do I begin? This is a good thought. I'm going to give you, just write them down. Number one, it begins with ownership. Number two, if you're not tithing today, would you just begin on God's word? In Malachi 3, he said, prove me. And then it begins by faith. Practically, is there an offering envelope in front of you, Brother Dave? Is there one right there? Hand that to me. Here's what I do. I know it's late. I'll let you go. When I get my paycheck every day, every Thursday, I sit down. And the very first check that I write out to the church, to the Lord. Plantation Baptist Church. I don't do my bills first. I don't think about it. I figure my 10%. And you know, I find that I'm usually generous at that moment in time. And I give all Beverly's money to the Lord at that time. And so I write out my check. And then I put it in my offering envelope. And sometimes I'll come over here. And sometimes I'll walk outside. Or sometimes I'll just sit at my desk. And I'll take my offering envelope, and I'll hold it up to the Lord, and I'll say, God, you've blessed me more than I could ever be blessed. And God, the church was able to pay me this week, and I appreciate it. And God, here's my 10%. And God, I wave it to you. I reckon Jesus Christ to be Lord. God, there's more in there. There's missions in there. But I'm giving this because Jesus is Lord. Now, God, bless me. Bless my family. Meet my need. But I've been honest today, God, and here is the tithe. And so every Sunday, you see me walk down, and I put my tithe in there. And I do. I wave it to him. I let him see it. And I want you to know something. Great is his faithfulness unto me. Now, there's a special thing happening in our church. God's getting ready to just use us for his glory. I want you to be a Bible-based Christian. All you want's our money. You can believe that, but that ain't the truth. I want you to be obedient to God. And God's people said, all right, let's pray. Heavenly Father God, thank you for the word of God. Nobody can say that this is just the church's opinion, all they want. I read it to them from the Bible. I could have went out there and took any one of their Bibles and read it just like it. I'm glad to say that many of our folks are tithing people. I don't know who does it, but you can't be blessed the way our church is blessed. And some of them come and tell me testimonies of what you've done. But God, there are some that I'm sure are missing out. I pray that you'd speak to them today, God, that they would recognize that you are the owner of everything. That 10% belongs to you. We cannot steal it. It should be given. And God, when we do, you just pour us out more than we can take, more than we can take, more than we can take. And you've never, never one time not been faithful. And so God, for our church to have the power and authority that we need to be in unity on this. And so I pray that you do work in the lives of people. God, there are some people here today. They are facing a great need this week, and they're tithers. I pray that they'd be encouraged to know that they can go to you and say, I brought it. I was honest. Now open that window and bless me, God. They think we can't talk to you like that, but you like to hear that. God, I tithe. Bring it. Give it. Meet that need, God. I'm a tither. You said. And oh, I've seen you do it in my life so many times. I love you, and I thank you. God, there may be somebody here today that doesn't know Jesus Christ. How I long for him to be saved. Maybe somebody today needs to know a good church, be a good church member. So God, you have your way now in our invitation. And I love you and I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.